I'm looking out amongst you, and this is the group that actually pays attention to what I say. You have shown up on time for our service, and those who show up in about 11 minutes, don't look at them weirdly. Just know that they're coming in at the, they're just coming in and joining us. This passage of scripture that we have today is a famous one. What does it, as you heard it read, what things stick out to you? What things came to your attention as it was being read? What's that? The Pharisees? So the Pharisee was coming, Nicodemus was coming, and he was asking some questions. Other things? That's it? Mary Grace? Okay, so he's talking about, well, it happened right after the baptism. So it's talking about those things, and it says it's coming in here, and it's coming in with the Spirit, and it's coming together and being a part of this, and it's important to be reborn in this baptism. That's part of what Jesus is teaching as he goes through his life. Yes, other things that you notice. Yes?
The separation of flesh and spirit.
All right, the separation between the flesh, the things that you do, in your regular life, and the things that you, the passions that you have there, and the spiritual things which are that you can't see and you can't test, and those are two different things. Other things that you picked up from this passage of scripture.
Oh, yeah. I was saying blood is for your body.
Blood is for your body. Very important, and I know it's very important. Glad to have blood. Other things. The terms for salvation. So it's about accepting this and being and getting rid of some of the logic and the worries that we have out there, and thinking about something that you can't see. Just like it's talked about the wind coming through, and there's you can't know where it's coming and you can't coming from, and you can't see where it's going exactly. It's just flowing through there, and it's happening, and you got to take that leap of faith. This passage has been used a lot, even though often it's not written out. There are people that put up these signs, and this might have been something that you, as I was reading it, you were like, oh yes, this is it. This is that passage that they put on their signs, and they have at the football games. Other things, other places too. I'm not saying it's only at football games, but it seems like it's in a lot of football games. And the cameras pan, and they see all the signs up there. John 3:16, which is the summary of what Jesus is saying. Here is Go Giants, John 3:16. Yes, I don't know if this is a golf game or what, but here's John 3:16. Yeah, so people have really gotten into it. And they in John 3:16 is they've got it on their shirts, and they are living it. Tim Tebow wears it on his little, what are those black things called? Whatever those things are. He wears it over there. But the passage of scripture that is being quoted there is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." That's what Jesus told Nicodemus was the most important and essential piece of what this gift of God was. Now, I really like Nicodemus, and I'm glad that you brought him up, because he is somebody who represents a lot of us. He represents a lot of us. And I'm going to use an analogy to tell you what I think about Nicodemus. I like to read or watch the murder mysteries. Maybe you've seen like Sherlock Holmes or Midsummer Murders. I don't like murder generally, but I'm thinking about the mysteries and those kinds of things, the kind of murder mysteries, Agatha Christie, Jessica Fletcher, all of these people, and they have if you follow those storylines, there's a basic line that a pattern that it follows. First, there's some terrible catastrophe has happened, and there's a group of prime suspects that are gathered around, and the detective is interviewing them meandering around and talking to them. And as the story plays out, the hero person there discerns something that's happened that is against what should have happened, and is able to determine who the real criminal is. And they gather around in a room, many of them, and they talk through it, and the detective says, well, it's not this person, it's not this person, it's not this person, it's not this person, it's this person. And there's some deduction that's taken place in the midst of that. I bring that up because I would really like to have that deduction skills, and I do not. But the one character that reminds me of Nicodemus is actually not Sherlock Holmes, but Dr. Watson. If you remember Dr. Watson in those stories, Dr. Watson was the one who, every story, he would be following along, he'd go to all of the different interviews, he would see the exact same type of thing that Sherlock Holmes saw, and at the end of it, he'd say, I don't know how you got that. Dr. Watson is Nicodemus. Nicodemus could never quite figure it out. As we go through the story, he comes back later, several chapters later, four chapters later, in the seventh chapter, he comes back and is working through his ways, trying to make sure that Jesus has a fair trial. And then later, he is the one who helps get the body of Jesus to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He works out the arrangements of that in one of the last chapters of the Gospel of John. And those are we find that he comes to him in the dark, in chapter 3, and he comes in the light in chapter 19, one of the last chapters of the gospel. He has made a transition through the gospel story from someone who was always in the dark, thinking logically, trying to think black and white on how things are working. Oh, I don't understand how you can be reborn if you don't go back into the mother's womb. That was Nicodemus at the beginning, and somebody who took a leap of faith toward the end of the gospel. Nicodemus is our hope. He is hopeful that we can go along on that same path, that we can find this knowledge of the Lord. This past week, I've been at a conference, and it was here in Washington. I didn't have to travel, thank you. It was a wonderful conference talking about ways that we can do the church differently and how we talk about that. And one of the big events on Thursday night was an event led by our presiding bishop, Michael Curry, the one who was the preacher at the wedding. Yes, that's that one. He is, along with a lot of other religious leaders, talking about the movement called Reclaiming Jesus. A lot of times we get stuck in our Nicodemus in chapter 3, and we want to have a definitive answer. We want to have logic that figures out our faith. Bishop Curry and other leaders are trying to say that Jesus is not about that kind of stuff. Jesus is about going outside and thinking about the nuance and the gray areas and dealing with things and working things and continuing to work things for our entire lives. And there are a couple of things that I want to point out about what they say. And there's a whole bunch of these sheets in the back that you can take home with you. But here they are. First is, we believe each human being is made in God's image and likeness. It's important to think not only of the people in your inner group, but everybody that we encounter along the path is made in the image of God. The second of these Reclaiming Jesus principles is, we believe we are one body in Christ. There is to be no oppression based on race, gender, identity, or class. That's a thing that we need to be thinking about as we encounter the world, is that we are not here to make judgments on other people. We are there to bring people in God's love. The third is, we believe how we treat the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the stranger, the sick, and the prisoner is how we treat Christ Himself. So it's a looking outward into the world and seeing how we can engage our community, even those people who are on the margins, even most especially those people on the margins of our world. The fourth is, we believe that truth is morally central to our personal and public lives. Jesus promises you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. an idea that we need to be working. We cannot be, you know, we do our best to give the truth in what we say and do. Number five is we believe that Christ's way of leadership is servanthood, not domination. So we need to be servants in the world, not thinking that we are above everybody else and just moving around the pieces around us. And the sixth is we believe Jesus when he tells us to go into all nations making disciples. Our churches and our nations are part of an international community whose interests always surpass national boundaries. So these six principles are part of what is called Reclaiming Jesus. And I'm going to be talking about those this summer. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm getting married in about a month. And when I come back from that, for 6 weeks, I'm going to be doing an adult ed series, actually anybody ed series, and it is after our 10 a.m. service, and it's going to be 10 minutes. The session will last 10 minutes. 8 minutes, I will talk about one of these six pieces that I just talked about, followed by some questions and answers for 2 minutes, so a total of 10 minutes, and then you can get on your way and go out into the world and do some of these things. And we're going to talk about reclaiming Jesus and how Jesus is important to our lives in faith, and how if we can reclaim Jesus, it can change not only our souls, it can change the souls of all around us as we spread God's love into the world. Loving all people. Loving beyond just our group of people, but thinking about how we can love in a radical way. So I hope that you will join us, and I will announce it in the announcement time is when this is coming up. But 10 minutes of education after our 10 a.m. service for the summer, for 6 weeks in the summer, and it's an opportunity to learn about what Jesus is telling us to do and how we are going to reclaim Jesus from those who see it as black and white, and thinking about how we can continue to work to grow Jesus in the world. Amen.